It's good to see you all in the house of God this morning. Something that Mr. McMillan has asked me to do before we start is just to give a brief introduction of myself. And for those of you who do not know me, my name is Matthew Eccles, and I'm a licentiate minister of our presbytery. And my background begins in a small fishing village called Port of Ogie. I'm not sure if the folks in Armagh are familiar with it, but it's the very east side of the country, down the Ours Peninsula, and I was brought up there and was a member of Trinity Free Presbyterian Church. And the Lord took me into Bible College, and I graduated in September 2020, and since then have been waiting for as well. I've been praying that He would open a door for me, my wife, and for my son. And He has certainly opened the door of service for us in the past days. I'm now a minister's assistant in Dungannon, Free Presbyterian Church. And then if you're familiar with the work there, it's a very large work. I'm a lot of busy members in that church. And so I'm there full time at this minute with my wife and with my son. And so I would say briefly, and I would ask that you would pray for us in the days to come, that the Lord will bless us even in our service there in Dungannon. And even in the days to come, He'll open a door of service for us, something permanent, something that we can go to in order to glorify His name, and pray the Lord will put His hand upon us and use us for His honour and for His glory. We're going to begin our service this morning by singing the words of the Psalm number 100. Psalm number 100. And if you have a hymn book, that's on the page 91. Psalm 100, all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Psalm 100, let us stand as we praise the Lord. Together in prayer, and we'll seek the Lord now, and we'll ask for His blessing upon our service. Let us bow together, and let us come to the throne of grace. Our Father, and our God in heaven, we thank Thee for the open door this morning, whereby we can come to Thy house and worship Thy great and Thy wonderful name. We thank Thee that Thou art God, and beside Thee there is none other. And we do confess, O Father, that when we look at Thee, when we see Thee in Thine infinite holiness, that we are sinful men and women, that we are unworthy of the least of Thy blessings. That, O Father, we are not worthy to even make approach unto Thee, but we thank Thee for Thy grace and Thy mercy, that we can cry this morning that we are redeemed by precious blood. We thank Thee, O God, that we have been adopted into Thy family, and for that spirit of adoption that is within us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And therefore, O God, this morning we come with confidence and boldness into the throne room of grace, knowing, O God, that we have been reconciled with Thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank Thee for Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. We thank Thee, O God, that He went willingly to the cross of Calvary, that Thy word doth reveal to us that He was obedient unto death, even that death of the cruel middle tree. And Lord, we thank Thee there that He has accomplished and purchased our salvation. We thank Thee that we can say that Jesus hath done all things well. And Lord, we thank Thee then that as He is a risen Savior, as He has ascended at Thy right hand, we ever set Him before our faces, knowing that He is the great forerunner of His church, and that He goeth before us to prepare a place for us. And He has promised that He will come one day again and receive us unto Himself. And therefore, O God, we look with this great hope within us, knowing one day, O Father, we shall be a glorified body together, that we shall be a bride presented to the Father in heaven as a spotless bride, as a bride that is free from sin and shall no longer know evil or suffering or pain, but we shall only know life and shall be in the love of God for all of the great eternity. But Lord, we realize now that we are in the realm of time. We are very aware, O God, that though we have received Thy blessing, and though, O Father, our hearts have been renewed by the Holy Ghost, and that there is the flesh, there is the old man that would be a snare unto us, that would seek to take us in the path of sin and on the way of unrighteousness. But we thank Thee for the work of grace that is ongoing within our hearts. We thank Thee for the promise of Thy word, that the Spirit of God shall have the victory within us and make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to that end, I pray, O God, that as we praise Thy name today, that as we consider Thy precious word, oh, that Thou would transform each and every brother and sister in this meeting today. Oh, that Thy word would come to the mind and therefore transform the heart, that they may leave knowing, O God, that they have known Thy speaking voice, that they have known Thy will, that they have known the way that they ought to go, as the Lord sets it clearly before them. And as they do these things, I pray, O Father, that they might know Thy blessing upon their lives. And Lord, I pray, O Father, for each and every saint here and their situations as well. We know, O God, that there are many saints going through trials and temptations. There are those that need a word of encouragement this morning. There are maybe those, O Father, who need to be corrected in the way that they are going. But Lord, I pray that Thy word would meet the need, that it would be a word in season to their hearts, to the glory of Thine honor and of Thy grace. And Father, we pray for every such gathering up and down our land today. We do rejoice that this is the Lord's Day. We do rejoice that Thou hast commanded us to come and to worship Thee this day. And I pray that that will be the great experience of all the children of God and our nation today, that we would worship our God, that we would set ourselves aside from the things of this world, and that we would no longer have thought of last week or the week that is ahead, but have thought only for Thy word and for Thy praise and for Thy glory. And Father, I pray today that if there be any in the gathering and they're not saved, O Lord, speak to them, or show them the great glory and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they see His sufficiency, one who is able to wash away all of their sins and His own precious blood. And to that end, I pray that the sermon, that the praise that we sing, that it all would be Christ-centered, that it would be Christ-glorifying, that he would be uplifted in our midst, and the name of man would perish. And as he is uplifted and amongst us, may we lift our eyes up to him by the eye of faith, and know, God, a great glory entering into our souls, knowing great joy within us, knowing that he is our great Redeemer, and the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. So, Lord, I leave this all with thee today. We do think of the minister of this congregation, the Reverend McMillan. I pray you'll bless him in his ministry. I pray, O God, that as he enters the study, may he know much of the Holy Spirit teaching him what he ought to say to God's people week by week. And every labour that he puts his hand to, may he know much of the Lord's help and much of the Lord's grace. And Lord, not only for him, but for every worker, for every office bearer in this congregation, I pray for the Lord's wisdom. And I pray for the Lord's hand upon each and every one of them. And Father, we do pray for those that cannot be here today. We think of the sick of this congregation, those that no longer can come to the house of God through infirmity and through age. I pray, O Lord, that you'll bless them. I pray today that as they would be in their own homes or wherever they find themselves, may they know the sweet fellowship and presence of the Lord. May they know thy ministering spirit. May they be encouraged even in their own souls, knowing that the Lord is with them. And he will lead, and he'll continue to guide even in the days to come. So, Father, we leave this all with thee today. We pray you'll bless our hearts. We pray, O God, that thou will send thy Spirit even in the midst of us, that we might know the presence and the blessing of God. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 184 will be our second hymn. Hymn 184, found in the page 251 of our hymn book. There is a book that comes to me from one who spake of old, who calls with shepherd voice the flock that wanders from the fold. Hymn 184, and again let us stand as we sing.
Thank you.
to turn with me this morning for our scripture reading to the book of Joshua and the chapter 1. Book of Joshua and the chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we want to begin our reading at the verse number 7, and we'll read right down to the end of this chapter, and there we read together in the word of God, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord hath given you your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising." And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Ask your brother, Mr. Billy Hill, to come and to make the necessary announcements, please. Thank you.
We welcome everyone to our morning service, and if you're visiting with us, we give you a special welcome. And we also welcome especially our preacher this morning, Mr. Matthew Eccles, a licentiate minister of Presbytery. At the evening service, Mr. Glenn Hamilton, a fourth-year theological student at the Whitfield College, will be the preacher. Tonight at 6 p.m., the prayer meeting in the church hall. 6:30 p.m. the evening gospel service. Mr. Glenn Hamilton will be the preacher. Tuesday, 6:45 p.m. the children's bright hour, both here at the church and also in the band hall in Killalea. Wednesday, 8 p.m. the midweek meeting. The preacher will be the Reverend McMillan. Friday night, 8 p.m. youth fellowship. The speaker will be Miss Hannah Carson. Saturday morning, from approximately 9:30 onwards, the church will be open for the harvest decorations. And there also will be a church clean-up we ask as many as possible to come and help with the cleanup. Next Lord's Day, the 2nd of October, will be our harvest services at 10:40 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m. morning service. The preacher will be the Reverend Stephen McRae from Ballinahinch Free Presbyterian Church. 6:30 p.m. the evening service, the preacher will be the Reverend Timothy Ormerod from 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. The singer will be Mrs. Natasha Atchison from Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. There will be a half hour of prayer before both services next Lord's Day. And there will be an offering taken for the building fund at both services. Put your gift in an envelope marked for the building fund and put it in one of the plates at the door. Monday, the 3rd of October, the parent and toddlers group will recommence. It will be held from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on the first and third Monday of each month. Please let others know about the parent and toddlers group. And if you can help with the meeting, speak to Mrs. Laurie Gardner. A special edition of the Vision magazine has been produced to commemorate the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. You can have your copy as you leave the church today. There should be enough copies for one for each family of the church. The Radio Ulster morning service next Sunday morning will be broadcast from the Clocher Valley Free Presbyterian Church at 10:15 a.m. Please make this widely known and pray that the Lord will bless the gospel as it goes forth over the airwaves. This Thursday, the 29th of September, will be the wedding of Brooks Allen and Ashley Johnston. As a congregation, we offer our congratulations to the happy couple and assure them of our prayers. We wish them both God's richest blessing for the future. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our brother for those words of welcome, and it is a wonderful privilege to be here with you this morning in Armagh. We trust the Lord will bless us as we do consider his word, and even as we renew fellowship one with another. And as I said earlier, and as I asked you, if you please pray for me and for my family and for our son. We had our first child this year. We called him Joshua, and he's 9.5 months old now. And at the start it was great because you could just put him down and he wouldn't do much. But now he's starting to wander and now he's starting to get into things. So we're definitely having a great time with him, and he keeps me and his mum on our toes. And so please do pray for our family. The Lord will bless us not only as a family, but bless us in his service in the days to come. And even in the work down there in Dungannon, we would appreciate prayer. We've been there for about 4 months now, and we've been labouring. And it's a very, very busy work. And already, it feels like we've been ministering there a lifetime. There's been so much to do. But it's a wonderful experience for me. It's a wonderful opportunity. And I'm thankful for God that he would open such a door for me to serve him. And again, just pray for our future. At the minute, we're in Dungannon until next September. But we're there until the Lord calls us somewhere else, or if he calls us somewhere else. So please do pray for that open door for us, that the Lord will put us into something full time. And again, use us for his honour and for his glory. But pray for our labourers down there in Dungannon as I would do visitation, as I would preach, and as I would oversee the youth work. The Lord will put his hand upon me. And again, use me for the extension of his kingdom. And of course, I will pray for you here in this work. But the Lord will put his hand upon you, your minister, and you might know much of his blessing even in the days to come. We're going to sing another hymn before we come to the preaching of the Word of God. It's the hymn number 195. 195, I'm sure a very familiar hymn to you. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. And 195 again will stand as we sing. you turn with me again to the book of Joshua, the chapter 1, I just want to read again that verse number 8 to you, but we will be considering a few verses that we read earlier, but we'll read this verse number 8, and it says there, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We'll bow together in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord now to bless the preaching of his word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we pray now that as we come to the truth of thy word, that thou, O Father, would give liberty in the preaching of it, not for the glory of a preacher or for the glory of man, but thou, O Father, would uplift thy great name, that thou would speak to thy people, that thou would teach them the way that they ought to go, in order that they might show forth the great glories of a life-changing gospel. So bless our hearts now. Draw near to us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I will make a very obvious statement this morning as we begin this sermon by saying this, that the Word of God is a key factor if we are, as Christians, seek to go on and to glorify God. Joshua and the Israelites were now about to enter into the land of Canaan. They were about to enter into a new phase of their experience and go on in the great redemptive plan of God. And so Joshua here in these words is reminded by the Lord and therefore reminds the Israelite nation of their duty with regard to God's precious word. And so it teaches us right away that each and every one of us ought to have a proper relationship when it comes to the word of God. If we fail to fulfill our duty with regard to the scriptures, well, then we will fail in every aspect of our Christian lives. We will fail to walk with God. We will fail to go on with him. We will fail to live those lives that glorify his name and uplift him in all of his ways. Think of them well-known verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2 or chapter 4, 3, verse 16 to 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And these verses are very clear. They show us and they reveal to us that the word of God ought to be profitable in our lives. And that word profitable there in 2 Timothy, it simply means to be helpful. And does that not teach you this morning that the Lord has given you his word, his perfect and his precious word, in order that it might be a help to you in your Christian life? You see, we are a people that need help continually by the Lord. And if we do not avail of the help that he gives us in his word, then how can we hope at all to succeed? And we see here what these words tell us with regard to the word. It reproves us, it corrects us, it instructs us in righteousness. You see, the word of God is given to us to apply to so many aspects of our lives in order to teach us in the way that we ought to go. And the ultimate goal of it is that this verse says we might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect means to be complete. And it simply means then that the scriptures, the word of God, they will make us a people who are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it will not be perfect in this world, but it will be perfect in the world to come. And so we see that the word of God, as it makes us complete, it makes us complete in every aspect of our lives. Our life with regard to our work, our school, our family, our children, our parents. The word of God has this influence in every single aspect of our lives. And so we see what Joshua does here. At the very beginning of this book in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The Lord spake unto Joshua." And so as the Lord speaks on to Joshua, what does Joshua do in return? Well, we see in verse 10 to 11 what he does. It says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it.'" And so as Joshua is spoken to by the Lord, what does he do then in turn? He takes this revelation that God gives to him and he gives command unto the people. That is, he speaks the word of God to the people that the Lord had spoken unto him. And so he is preparing the people by the word. He is really making the word of God central to what they are about to do as they enter into the land of Canaan. And so we see the reality here that the word of God ought to be central. As we go into life, as we go into new phases of life, as we seek to walk with God, the word of God ought to be central. And as it began to spread through the Israelite nation at this time, how it ought to spread through the church, through the people of God, and have such an influence in their lives that they might know how they might walk with God, that they might know that their footsteps are in line with the word of God, and that they might know then how to glorify him and all of his great revelation. And so what do we see here? We see the word of God beginning to operate in the lives of the children of Israel. And therefore, with this in mind, I want to speak about this theme this morning. God's Word operating in our lives. God's Word operating in our lives. First thing I want you to see here with regard to this theme is our contemplation in it. If God's Word is to have an effect and as to have a transformative effect in our lives, well, then we must be a people who are in the Word and who are constantly in the Word. We ought to be reading the Word of God, and we ought to be beginning to know it and seeing it working in our lives and in our hearts. And of course, we can do this by sitting under faithful preaching, and we can do this by our devotion to it every single day. And this is something we know at a basic level. This is a duty that is so clear in the Bible and something that we must then follow. And at this basic level, we ask ourselves, are we reading the Word of God? Are we studying it? Are we taking time in it? Do we know its precious promises and its warnings and its exhortations and its rebukes? Do we know the Word of God? That is such a simple question. And yet I think in modern life, when we have so many things like entertainment and we have so many things that can distract us, it can be that God's children don't know the Word as they should, even at an elementary level. Now, how are we to have this contemplation, this time in the Word of God? Well, verse number 8 reveals it to us. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And so we see this book of the law. Now, to the children of Israel, this would have been the first 5 books of the Bible, the revelation that they had then. But of course, we know very well that we have the fullness of the revelation that God has given to us. But we see here what the Lord is saying to us. He's saying to us that there ought to be this meditation upon the Word of God. And so John Gill, a Bible commentator, he explains what meditation is in wonderful words. He says, "This is to be understood of a diligent reading and serious consideration of it, and of employment of the thoughts, and of deep study upon it, in order to find out the sense and the meaning of it." Essentially what John Gill is saying here is that we ought to read the Word of God. We ought to contemplate it. We ought to take time to bring it into our minds and seriously mull over it time and time again throughout the day. We ought to be a people that constantly have the Word of God before us. When we read it in the morning, we take it to work with us. What did we read this morning? What was the Lord saying to me? What verse was it that struck my heart that I have to memorize and keep within my soul? You see, the Lord is really challenging us here. Because we can get into a routine in our Christian lives where we go to the Bible in the morning, we read the passage that we want to read in our Bible reading plan, we read it, we put it down, we pray, and we walk away. We barely have taken the time to really contemplate what the Lord is saying, to really study it, to take it with us that whole day long. Maybe we go and we read it and we barely even remember what we've read. We barely know what the Lord is saying at all. We have barely taken time to listen for His wonderful voice to speak to our hearts. And if we've gotten into this routine, it will have a negative effect on our Christian lives and in our relationship with the Lord, because the Word of God is not getting the time it deserves, and therefore the Word of God is not getting into the heart. And you may be faithful, brother or sister, in your reading and in your praying. You may read plenty of Scripture every single day. And maybe you're saying to me, I'm reading it and I'm praying, and yet I find that I fall into the same old sins. I go down the same old paths. I do the same old things that I've always done. You say it's not having a great effect on my life. And why is this? Well, maybe you're not taking time to meditate. Maybe you're not taking time before the Lord to really contemplate what He is saying to you, how He is speaking into your circumstances. You see, what is happening is the Word of God is going into the mind, and that you're not giving it time to get to the heart. You see what verse 8 says here? It says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The Lord wants serious contemplation of His Word. He doesn't want you to just skim over it and then get on with it. The Lord wants serious contemplation day and night. It ought to be in our hearts. And then He says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You see, the Lord is giving us the key to success there. He's saying that when time is taken with His Word, then you'll begin to see its effects on your lives. So I say to you, brethren and sisters, take time with the Word of God. Take time to let it really sink into your heart. Take time to hear the voice of God in your life. Take time, and then you'll begin to see this great and this wonderful transformation begin to happen, because you'll begin to live by its principles as it's taking hold of you continually. I don't know if anyone here has ever seen the film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It does tell a story of a poor child named Charlie Bucket who, after finding a golden ticket in his chocolate bar, he visits Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and he sees some of his wonderful and his weird creations. One of the things that stands out in that film is perhaps the three-course dinner chewing gum. And so as someone began to chew their chewing gum, next thing you know, they began to taste a three-course meal, and they would have got tomato soup, roast beef, I don't know, whatever it was. All of these flavors would have been coming into their mouths and would have been bursting onto the scene. And you know, as this person began to chew more and more and more, there was variety, there was different tastes, there was all of these wonders. And brethren and sisters, as we begin to chew over the Word of God, as we begin to meditate upon it and really take it within our hearts, there will be this wonderful variety of truths. There will be all of these life-changing doctrines. There will be all of these things that will encourage us, strengthen us, and give us a wonderful hope within our hearts. As you read the Word of God year after year after year, you'll continue to find new truth and old passages that you know well. The Lord will speak to you in ways He's never spoken to you before. The Lord will do great things in your lives if you take time to consider His Word. Psalm 1 verse 2 to 3 says, but His delight, and this is speaking of the righteous man, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. You see that phrase used again. This righteous man is meditating day and night. And verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you see what happens here? As the psalmist begins to meditate on the law of God day and night, he's like that tree planted by the water that brings forth an abundance of fruit. And that's what will begin to happen in our lives. We'll be a people who will bring forth an abundance of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit of God. fruit of righteousness, likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us take time to contemplate the Word of God. Let us be a people who are really in it. Second thing I want you to see here is, with regard to God's Word operating in our lives, is our recognition of it. You notice what happens here in Joshua chapter 1. The Word of God comes with a great authority. Verse 11 says, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." And you see, Joshua here in this verse is, of course, bringing the Word of God. This was the will of God, that the people would pass over into the land of Canaan. But what is Joshua doing here essentially? He is now acting and exercising the authority that he has now invested to him. He is here acting in behalf of God and speaking the Word of God to the people. We could say very well that Joshua was taking on the role of a mediator. And this is something we saw with Moses and that was recognized by the children of Israel. Verse 17 of Joshua 1, it says, "According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things." And so we see very well that they hearkened unto the word of Moses as Moses spoke the word of God to them. And we see here then that Moses was a mediator to the people. He came between God and the people, and he showed forth the will of God to the Israelite nation. Now we see this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 and 19. And it says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And so the people here, they began to realize that the presence of the Lord was there. And so they said to Moses, "Will you not speak with us?" Essentially, will you not speak with the Lord and then speak with us? Would you not reveal His will unto us? And so the people began to see the authority of Moses and Joshua, because they knew that they were invested with authority, and they spoke forth the will and the word of God. And so what do we say then with regard to this? We see then how the Lord comes into the lives of His people, and He speaks unto them by the authority of His word. Now, Joshua chapter 1, we know very well, Joshua was not speaking his own words. He was not coming with his thoughts and his fancies. He was speaking the very word of God, and that's where his authority came from. It was because it was the word of God that he spake. And you see, in every aspect of our lives, we as a people come under human authority. In the church, we come under the authority of the elders. Wives come under the authority of their husbands. Children come under the authority of their parents, and so on. And so we see this authority that the Lord gives and He invests His people with. Now, when the Lord does this, He is not saying that these offices are authority in and of themselves. He's saying these offices are by the Word of God, and these people rule by the Word of God. And that's so important to understand. The elders rule by the word of God. The husband leads by the word of God. The parents lead by the word of God. And that is their authority. They come with the word of God. And so what are we seeing here? We're seeing that the word of God has a great authority upon the lives of the people of God. And of course, we know that in verse 17, this people said, "We will hearken unto thee. But they said, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." And so they're saying, we will hearken unto thy words if the Lord is with thee, and if the Lord is giving thee his word. And so, brethren and sisters, when we come under the word of God, in preaching, in our devotions, as it is administered to us by brethren and sisters, by loved ones, then we come under its great authority, and we must live according to its commands. Let me say to you that Christian obedience is not a matter for debate. It's not an option that you have. It's something that comes before you, and it has its demand upon you from the Lord. And he says, you ought to be my people who are living in obedience to my word. And let me ask you this morning, does the word of God have an authority in your life? Or is there some aspect of your life that is not coming under its boundary, and you're living in rebellion to the Lord? And you're not walking in his ways. And you're not doing that which is glorifying to him. And you see, verse number 11, the Lord reminds the people something through Joshua. It says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land. And here are the words I want you to get, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And so Joshua is reminding the people, this campaign, as we go forward, as we seek to have a victory over our enemies, it is by the grace of God that we stand. And so we understand as a people that we live by grace. That God must give us a grace to take the footsteps of life. If we are to be good Christian people, if we are to be good Sunday school teachers, if we're to be good husbands and wives, and we're to be good children, well then we must have the grace of God in our lives. And yet if we are living as a disobedient people, then we hinder the grace of God in our lives. Does the Lord not warn Joshua? In verse 7, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And look what the Lord says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What is the warning here? The Lord is saying to Joshua, if you depart from my word, well, then you will not prosper, and you will not have good success. Thomas Brooks, a Puritan writer, says, when men throw off the word, then God throws off them. And then Satan takes them by the hand and leads them into snares at his pleasure. You see what he's saying here? If we throw off the word of God in our lives, well then we give our lives over to Satan and to his ways and to his pleasure. And you see, as a church, as a body of believers, if we throw off the word of God, well then we would turn the house of God into a synagogue of Satan, and we would give our individual lives over to the evil one if we throw off the word of God. And we throw off the word of God when we refuse to do what it says. And we refuse to obey it. And we refuse to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now let me say that there are times as the people of God, we will depart. We will rebel against the Lord. But we're thankful that as a father pities his children, he takes us back by his loving kindness and by his grace. But in these days, we must understand that we must be an obedient people. We cannot profess to be believers and know the Word of God if we're not living according to its standards. And we're not living according to its commands. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And you see what James is saying here. Be doers of the Word. When we hear the word and we don't do it, and we rebel against God, what an awful thing it is, because we sin willfully. And we do not those things in ignorance, but we do them with intent. We throw off the word of God. Don't let it have its great authority in our lives. Brethren and sisters, do not rebel, but walk in the way of the Lord. We will be a prosperous people. We will prosper as individuals. We will prosper as a body of people. We will prosper under the hand of God. We will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be more transformed into his very image. One more thing I want you to see as we consider this thought of God's word operating in our lives. I want to see our commitment through it. We read verses 12 to 14 together. It says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God have given you rest, and have given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. Ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. And so these three tribes are addressed, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, why are they mentioned here? They're mentioned because they already had received their inheritance. You know, the children of Israel, the nation, they had not received what the Lord had for them in Canaan, but these three or these two and a half tribes had received a portion of land already. Now, we know that Israel were going to go over the Jordan, but as they were going to go over the Jordan, the other side of the Jordan, these tribes had already taken an allotment of land. Now, they had done that in Numbers chapter 32. And it says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw that the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, If we have found grace in thy sight, let the land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." And so they were saying essentially, this land is good for our cattle. It will be better for us to remain here, and therefore we will not take an inheritance over the Jordan. Now, Moses did give them what they asked for. He said, yes, you can have your land, you can have this allotment, and you will not settle on the other side of the Jordan, but here is the condition: that you send your men of war with the children of Israel as they enter into war in the land of Canaan. And so they are being reminded here by Joshua of the great responsibility, that they have. They have a responsibility to go with the Israelite army and to battle with the people of God. Verse 15, we see, "Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising." And so again, as Joshua lays this obligation upon them, he says, you must go to war with your brethren. And when you go to war with them, when they receive their inheritance, when they are at rest, you can go back over the Jordan and you can go and you can rest with your cattle, with your wives, your families, and with your tribes. Now we read something of them in Joshua chapter 4. Because it says in the children, verse 12 and 13, "And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho." Do you see what happens here? These men are not rebellious. They did not say, well, we have our land, we have our inheritance, all the best to the rest of the nation of Israel. But rather the Bible says they went with their brethren, they walked with them, they fought with them, and this was a command they received through the word of God. And what is the Bible here teaching the church today? It's teaching us of the great unity that we have as the body of Christ, and it's teaching us that we ought to labor with another and for one another. And you see 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13, what the Apostle Paul says with regard to the church of Jesus Christ. He says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And what's he saying here? He is saying essentially that the body of Christ is one. The body is a unified body. We have partook of one salvation. We have one head of the church. We have one Spirit who has brought us into this body. We are one people, and therefore, as we are one people, there is to be this commitment, there is to be this unity, and there is to be this service one for another. You see here how these two and a half tribes, they went with their brethren. They weren't fighting for their own land. They had already received theirs. They were fighting for their brethren's sake. And so as a church, we ought to be a people that serve one another and see our unity in Jesus Christ. And when that is not present, well, it is a symptom of disunity, of discord, of malice, of jealousy, of envy, of all of these things. This is not a good sign when the people of God are not in a wholesome unity. So the Lord comes to us this morning. He says to us, see yourselves as one body in Christ. Pray for one another. Labor for one another. Work for one another. Do good on behalf of your brother or your sister. Do good for their benefit. Seek their welfare. Seek their progress in the Christian life. This is a picture of the body of Christ, because a body that is divided is not a body at all and will not function. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, the Apostle Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I don't need to explain what that means. It's very clear, isn't it? He says to them, be of one mind, be joined together, and be that unified people in the world. A story was told of a father who caught his two sons quarreling. He called them in and he gave them a stick each. And he said to them, each one, break the stick. And so both of them, being young boys, they broke it very easily in half, and therefore he gave them two sticks. Again, they did it without much effort. They were able to break that stick in half, or those two sticks in half. And again, he kept giving them sticks, and he kept building up the number until eventually he got to six sticks. And as he got to six, the boys no longer could break this in half. And so the father says to them, you can be defeated one by one, but if you stand together, your united strength will cause your enemies to have second thoughts. And see, we're not to be a people who see ourselves as individuals merely. But when we see ourselves as a body, as we see the unity, as we see our togetherness in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be stronger for it. We will be stronger in the world. We will be stronger against all of those forces of evil that will battle against us. But yet when we're individuals, when we seek to separate ourselves from our brethren and sisters, what begins to happen is that we're easy prey for the devil. We'll easily be broken. We'll be easy targets for those that will seek to go against us. So the Word of God comes this morning and it shows us a wonderful example of togetherness, of unity, of commitment to the cause of Christ. Let us have such in our lives, that we be that one body, striving together for that one cause, for that one goal, seeking the glory of God. So we see God's Word operating in the lives of the children of Israel. Let it have such an operation in our lives. Will you consider it daily? Will you walk in the ways of the Lord? Will you walk as that one body in the Lord Jesus Christ? May the Lord bless His Word to all of our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Let us bow together in prayer. And we'll ask the Lord now to bless us as we part one from the other. Our Father and our God in heaven, we pray now that Thou would bring the thoughts out of Thy Word and bring them to our hearts. O Lord, that Thou would transform us by the renewing of our minds. Thou, O God, would help us to take these things, to use them for a profit, and to live those lives that glorify Thy great and Thy wonderful name. Bless Thy people now. Bless them in the days ahead. Part us with Thy fear and with Thy mercy. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.